So I don't know if you heard the news, but on Tuesday of this week, Coco the gorilla died. You remember Coco the gorilla? Coco is the gorilla that lived in California. He actually lived in the Santa Cruz Mountains. He was born in San Francisco, but he lived in the Gorilla Preserve in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. And she was an amazing gorilla because from an early age she was taught American Sign Language, right? And apparently she learned over 1,000 different sign language symbols. And so people could communicate with Coco, and Coco could communicate with people. And I always thought that was really interesting. Like, I would love to go and have a conversation with a gorilla, right? Because that would be like a really cool thing. What was that show? If I could talk to Mr. Doolittle, right? Dr. Doolittle. Wouldn't it be fun to communicate with the animals? And Coco, I would just love to go and talk to Coco. But the thing you got to wonder is, you know, at what level of communication can Coco really, really talk about, right? Because I know that for like dogs and maybe a couple other animals, you can actually communicate to them and get them to do things, but it is not communication as we know it. It's communication like Pavlov's dogs to get the dog to do something you want the dog to do, right? So apparently people who studied and researched this have said that these apes and chimpanzees, which are the highest cognitive recognition animals, really only about 4% of the communication is something outside just basic human needs, like I'm hungry, I want to get out of this cage, you know, that sort of thing. But still, that 4% is pretty impressive. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I mean, it's a gorilla that you can communicate with. And so I always thought that was really fascinating. But something happened when Robin Williams died. So Robin Williams apparently went and played with Coco the gorilla, right? And when Robin Williams died, there was this big viral video out about how Coco was so upset that Robin Williams died. And I'm like, Robin Williams met Coco once. And now Coco's upset that Robin Williams, something's fishy here. And then I started doing more research and I found out that Coco was actually against climate change. No, I'm serious. There was a viral video about Coco and climate change, and there was another viral video about Coco and gun control. And then I started to wonder, okay, wait a minute. Maybe Coco is not so smart as we think Coco is, and maybe Coco is being used by people for their own agenda. And really, that bothers me. I don't like it when other animals or people are used for your own means. I mean, I think you should be in the best interest of the people or the animal that you're talking about. Because Scripture says that there is a huge difference between Coco and humans. And it's in Scripture. Because mankind was created in the image of God and is the only animal on the earth that is created in God's image. And there is truly something different about mankind. If we're truly created in God's image, what is it about us that makes us closer to God or in the image of God? And the answer is the Spirit, or Spirit living inside us. We are not just flesh. We are also Spirit. And that makes us unique of all the animals in the kingdom. And so we're going to talk about that today because we're continuing our sermon series based upon the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And we're going to get to that part starting next week. But today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives, because we are spiritual beings. And I want to go to Romans 8 today. We read it, and I just want to point out a few things from Romans 8. And the first one is this. From Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5, Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So when you are a spiritual animal, according to Paul, you will have spiritual desires. It is not just earthly desires or physical desires, but there are spiritual desires in your life because you are a spiritual creature. And you have to understand that. You know, there was a show a number of years ago that we used to show our kids. There was a guy named Rob Evans, and he was the donut man. And he would sing the song, "Life without Jesus is like a donut, is like a donut, like a donut. Life without Jesus is like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart." Well, we are spiritual creatures, and without the Spirit living in our life, we've got a hole in us. Do you see that? You need to recognize and you need to understand that you are a spiritual creature. You are created in the image of God. There is a Spirit that lives inside you. You are not just earthly flesh and bones. We're like that sponge that without Spirit living us, we're lifeless. We're not even be able to be used in the purpose that God has us to be used for. A number of years ago, there was a psychologist. His name was Abraham Maslow. And he kind of touched upon this. He has a thing called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, right? I don't know if you've ever looked at the pyramid of Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, but at the very bottom is just the physical needs. And we all have to have our physical needs met. You know, you have to have food, you have to have clothing, you have to have shelter. You have to have those basic needs met. Like every animal has to have their basic needs met. Basic needs met. But we're not just an animal. And what Abraham Maslow noticed in the human condition is that there are other needs that need to be met in our life because we are not just simply animals. We have a spirit inside of us. And you've got to have that spirit fed. You need to understand. And I've not met many atheists in my life, but I've seen them on TV, so they must exist. Yeah, they do exist. But I've always, and only a very, I mean, Pew Research shows it's like 3% or something like that of the world around us is atheist. The vast majority of people are not atheists. Because atheist is a very cold, hard, dead thing to live, and I actually feel sorry for them. Actually, most atheists feel sorry for themselves. Because they would love to have that spiritual side of them and connect to the spiritual side of them. They just can't logically wrap their head around that humans have a spiritual side, and so they don't even want to talk about it. But we do have a spiritual side. We are created in the image of God. We have a spirit inside us. So that's the first thing. But the second part is this. It starts in chapter 8, verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So what Paul says is that if your mind is governed by the flesh, it's nothing but death. But when the mind is governed by the Spirit, there's life and peace. And obviously he's comparing this against death. So what Paul is talking about is the Holy Spirit here. That if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, there's life and there's peace. Now Jesus talks about this. He says that I may come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So when Jesus exists in your life, when the Holy Spirit exists in your life, there is abundant life in your there's abundance in your life. I remember I couldn't find it, but there was a story that was told to me a number of years ago about a farmer who would hook up his horses to a plow and he'd plow the fields all day. It was hard, laborious work with this plow. And then he heard about there was a thing called a tractor. And if you had a tractor, you could actually plow your land a whole lot quicker and faster. And the farmer's like, I got to get me one of this. So he writes and he sends the money in. He goes to the catalog. And pretty soon this tractor arrives on his farm. He's so excited. And he does everything like he used to. But now he's with this tractor, right? And he's plowing and he's not getting anything plowed. He's like, I don't understand. So he writes back and he says, you know, I'm plowing, but it's just not plowing I'm not plowing as fast as I used to plow, and you said I'm going to plow faster. So they write back and they say, are you sure you're doing everything? Because I'm doing everything right. So they send out a technician to come and take a look, and he looks at the gas, and he looks at the oil, and he looks at the tractor, and he goes, I don't understand why you're not plowing as fast as used to be. So he sits in the seat and he turns on the gas, and the engine shows up and starts rumbling, and the farmer says, what's that? Okay, he'd hooked it up to his horses and he was plowing. Yeah. See, we're like a lifeless tractor without Jesus in our life, but with Jesus, we're firing on our cylinders. It's just a really wonderful thing. We're there. We've been created for abundant life. We've been created for joy. And we've been created for peace. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. With the Spirit, though, knowing that there's a Spirit, there's a non-human side to our life, it actually can bring scariness into our life. I mean, you all know that there was a guy named Alfred Hitchcock, right, who was the master of suspense and the master of scaring people. And he never showed anything. He just put thoughts in your mind that were scary thoughts. When you know you are a spiritual creature, there are some scary things. I mean, if this isn't everything in this world, that's kind of scary for us because we don't know it, we can't control it. But Jesus says, be of peace because I am peace. I'm in control, I'm in charge, and I'm going to be with you all the way of your life. So that brings peace in our life. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. But the Holy Spirit brings one more thing. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Even though your body may die, the Spirit lives on and gives you life. You see, we've been redeemed by Christ. He has bought and purchased us with his precious blood, and He is watching over us, and He is attaching Himself to our spirit. And when our bodies die, that is not the end of us. When our bodies die, the body may go in the ground, but the Spirit lives on, and the Spirit is held onto by God, and He never lets go. And we know by Scripture that one day the trumpet shall sound, and Jesus will come back, and all the dead shall rise, and the Spirit will be reunited with another body, a perfected body, and we will live with God forever. That's a great thing. That is a great joy that we can hold on to and cling to, because we are not just body and spirit without God. We are body and spirit protected by God because He's bought and purchased us through His blood and His righteousness. That's a great thing. You know, I don't know much about Coco, and I don't know what happens to Coco when Coco dies. There are a lot of people that are sad, and I appreciate that. Scripture is pretty silent about what happens when the animals die. I don't know. But I do know this, that when we die, it's not the end of us. Because we are spiritual beings created in the image of God, and He's come and redeemed us and attaches Himself to us. And that's a great thing. In Jesus' name, amen.